This past week, Sue and I had the awesome privilege of attending our annual District Leadership Conference. The conference itself is called Lead Forward, and it's a time for leaders in our district, pastors, youth pastors, credential holders, any leaders in churches to come together and to hear the Word of God, to pray together, and to learn practical insights into different areas of ministry. And as it was practical, as it was inspiring, I just thought I'd share a couple of highlights that God put on my heart just before I introduce our speaker, because I think it really, really flows with the report he's going to share with us. The theme for this year was Together on Purpose. Together on Purpose. And the theme had this idea that we are not on purpose in silos. We are not just in Victoria or in Salmon Arm or in Sydney or in Duncan or in Vancouver. No, we are in this together. And that each church, each ministry, each of our organizations in our fellowship, we are in this together. Now, for some of you who may be brand new to the church, just let me back up for a second. Our church is part of a fellowship of churches called the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. It is a fellowship of about 1,500 churches across the nation that worship in all kinds of languages, from English to French to First Nations languages. And it's a fellowship that has churches from coast to coast to coast. It is a young fellowship. It was so thrilling this week of the 500 or 600 delegates that were there, that well over half were under the age of 30. That was so thrilling. Especially the worship. Let me just say, the worship was passionate. And yeah, it was loud. But I tell you, there is a generation that God is raising up in our nation that is nothing like I have seen in my 40 plus years of ministry. They are not just passionate in music, they're passionate in life, they're passionate for their Savior, and they're looking to make inroads in this country, in our schools, everywhere they go for the name of Jesus. And that was so exciting. That was so exciting. I would say that with the excellent speakers, with Bill Markham and Kevin Shepherd from Ontario, they just shared exactly what I believe God has us here in British Columbia. We are part of the British Columbia district of the PAOC. And we have about 250 churches, I believe, in our district. And it is just thrilling to be part of. But there were three takeaways that I had going into this conference. Number one was the emphasis on prayer. Our district superintendent shared a twofold vision that God has given him for our district. Number one, it begins with prayer. And there will be calls to prayer throughout the district during this next 2 years, where we will be coming together as churches to pray and intercede for our communities, for our churches, and for the next generation. Secondly, what came across to me was to be intentional in mentoring and discipling the next generation. Why do I bring the kids forward on Sunday morning? Is it to show off? Yeah, it is. Because I think our kids are great. I really do. And I want you to see the faces of the church that is today. Not tomorrow, right now. They're hungry for Jesus. They're hungry for the Word. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for those who serve them. And let's pray, as we do, to be ready for God to place us, put us in those places of ministry. But I believe there is a call out in up of the Holy Spirit to disciple and mentor the next generation. They're hungry for God. And they need that mentoring to help them to fulfill the call that God's placed on their life. Which brings me to the third takeaway. And the third takeaway is very much the theme of what this whole month has been, the theme of Givetober. This whole month we have dedicated to praying, giving, and supporting our local and global mission partners who are serving God and presenting the gospel, not just around the world, but even here at home. And a few weeks ago, I got an email from Charles Hermelink. Charles is a friend of mine in ministry. We both have the dubious common denominator that we both were pastoring in the same church in Toronto, not at the same time. My very first church was as youth pastor at Danforth Gospel Temple that eventually became Danforth Community Church in downtown Toronto. And later on, Charles and his wife had the privilege of serving that church's pastor. He is a missionary. He has a heart for the lost. He has a heart for Canada. And right now, God has placed him in a position in our head office through the ministry called Mission Canada. And he's going to share that this morning. And so would you give a great Sydney Island welcome to Charles Hermelink.
Thank you, Pastor Ralph. And it's lovely to be here with you. I'm so glad that ministry and the Lord brought us back to BC. It really is the best coast, isn't it? Amen? It's wonderful. How many of you watch the news? You ever watch the news? Maybe you listen to the news, maybe you read the news. You know, are you encouraged when you listen to the news? Okay, why do I watch the news? Why do I, right? This is why I love Psalm 73. It is such a, there's such a transition in the middle of this. The psalmist is talking about, he's looking at the world. He's looking at the wickedness of the world. He's looking at that everything is going on. And he sounds like he's been watching, you know, CBC and CNN, right? But in verse 13, he says, "But then I went into the temple and everything changed. Then I understood." There's a transition. There's something that happens. I come into the presence of God and my entire perception changes. And that's what we need, isn't it? That's what happens when we come into God's building or God's house. That's what happens when we open the Word of God. That's what happens when we stop to pray and seek God. That's what happens when we begin to worship. There is a change of mind, a change of attitude. And that's what this is about here today. God is not glorified in the local evening broadcast, is he? Okay? But God is on the move, like Pastor Ralph said, in Canada and the world. He is doing extraordinary things. So welcome to the house of God to have that transition and change to see and hear what God is doing. And like Pastor Ralph said, it's not only in Canada, it's not only in BC, it is around the world that young people by the thousands are coming into the kingdom of God. They are tired of what they see in the world and they are seeking God. There is revival in France. There is revival in England. There is a revival in Canada among younger generations because they've seen and tasted what the world has and it's not very good. Right? And there, and God is on the move here as well. The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, do we have those slides? Okay, there we go. And the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada was started in 1919, so just over 100 years ago. And before that, there were a lot of little independent Pentecostal churches all spread around. And then they came together to form as a fellowship. Why? Why form as a fellowship? Why not just stay as an independent church? They formed as a fellowship. We formed to send missionaries. That's our DNA. That's our spiritual DNA. To send workers around the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we have Mission Global. Mission Global is everything that is outside of Canada. And that's where this shirt comes from. I dug it out to share, to wear it, because I love it. One of many batiks from Indonesia, where we used to do ministry until God brought us back to Canada. And we have over 360 missionaries worldwide serving, and more coming up all the time. But it was about 22 years ago that our general executive of the fellowship decided, we need a Mission Canada as well. Because although we have over 1,200 local fellowships, and then more with disciple and preaching points and those things, there are gaps. What's a gap? Yeah, a space. It's where you're not. And there are gaps in Canada where the church is not or not strong enough. And that's what Mission Canada is about. It's about reaching five particular gaps. And perhaps I think we have a slide for that. Let me see what we've got. This was our missions team gathering in May. We get together in person once every 2 years, and that was in Montreal. So on the next one there, we're looking at the gaps of Canada. Jesus said in Acts, "You will be my witnesses," right? The purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit within our lives is for the purpose of being a witness. And that's not something new. That's actually in Psalm 73 as well. Because when you get down to the last verse, when he turns around, he says, "We are here to witness and praise and make God great, great even among all the nations." It's still witness. It's always been witness. And so on the next slide, what you'll see is we are organized around these five gaps, these areas where we need to be stronger in Canada. So they are Indigenous ministries, cultural language groups, Next Gen, which is campus, youth, and children, Francophone, and Quebec, and our urban centers. All of these, we are deploying workers, missionaries in Canada, into these places. And I happen to be the priority coordinator for cultural language groups. And so I am so blessed. I'm so excited. You know, I'm out here. Actually, I was out here meeting with. What do I have on the next slide? Can I see that? Okay. Well, I'll give you the impact report. So just so you know, to praise the Lord, look what's happening. Among 61 workers in this past year, 204 salvations, 110 water baptisms, people being filled with the Spirit. Look at this. Hundreds of people every single week are meeting, looking at the Word of God, exploring the things of faith in Jesus and having their lives transformed. And then the next slide. But this one, I'm a bit of a data guy. Do we have any numbers, data people here who like facts and those kinds of things? So I thought, well, I should tell you about BC. Right, in particular, in the larger context of Canada. So in Canada, our 2025 population, out of our population of 40 million people, already 24% were born outside of Canada. So let's do a quick survey. If you were born outside of Canada, raise your hand. Right, look around here. Maybe more than 24%. I have my hand raised because I was born outside of Canada as well. But then when you add those who are first generation or their children, okay, in addition to that, we're already at almost 50% of the population of Canada. Either they or one of their parents was born outside of Canada. That's how international we are. Well, what does all that mean? It means we are a missionary field. We're a mission field here. And that's why we have a mission candidate, and why we deploy missionaries into the field of Canada. Where are people coming from? This, what you see on the bottom, this is not Canada. This is only BC, and only in the last year, right? So almost 60,000 from India, almost 14,000 from the Philippines. You could read on down there. So what it shows us is we are strategic in hitting where God is taking the nations. Okay? And what's on the next slide for me? Okay. So I've started doing, I was thinking about coming out here, what's called, I call a cultural map. Okay. And I can, if you're interested in this, I can share the link. I'll share the link with Pastor Ralph, because you can access this map as I continue to add and build on there. You zoom in on Google Maps, and because as you zoom in, especially down in Victoria, it just gets more and more populous. What you're seeing on the map here is every mosque, every Sikh Gurdwara, every Buddhist temple and meditation center. And then you start adding ethnic restaurants and ethnic grocery stores, you know, and, Islamic schools, all those. And we begin to see how international our own surrounding is all around us here. And why is that? God is trying to open our eyes bigger to see what he is doing, okay? Now, the rate of immigration, does anybody think the rate of immigration is probably a little bit too high for our country, right? It's problematic. And it's okay to admit that. That's a political, a government issue, okay? But God has a different plan. How many know that? God has a very different plan, amen? God has a plan, so when you meet somebody who's from somewhere else, welcome them. Okay? Don't take out your ire against the government by the person that you meet, right? They're not, that's the inappropriate place. The appropriate place for us as the kingdom is to welcome them. How many times I have walked and met somebody and said, "Welcome to Canada." And they'll say, "You are the first person to tell me that, other than a paid government official." Right? A simple act like that begins to open the door to people's hearts. You see, because God is behind immigration. In Acts chapter 16, verses 26 and 27, Paul is on one of his missionary journeys. He's made his way from Turkey. He's gone through Macedonia, up the Aegean coast, you know, and he's coming down the Greek peninsula, and he ends up in Athens, and he goes there, and of course Athens is famous for all the talking heads. They just love to stand around in their temple courts, and you know, and he's observing all of this. He's a good missionary. He's looking and figuring out everything, and so he goes in, he gets invited to speak. And he says, "I see that you are actually a very religious people. You're so devoted to your gods. There's temples and shrines and all these things all over the place. And they're continually offering all of these sacrifices. You even have a shrine or a temple to the unknown God." Because they were saying to themselves, "Well, what if there's a God out there that we don't know about? And what if we don't offer praises and sacrifices to him? He might be angry at us. And so let's appease that God as well." He said, "But I am here to tell you about that God, the unknown God, the God of all things." And in here, he actually reveals what immigration is all about. God is behind immigration. He said, "Mankind has been moving across the face of the earth from the beginning of time." Do you hear the motion that's going on here? "He has determined their dwelling places and their borders." How do you know people's dwelling places and country borders are changing throughout history, right? "For why? For what purpose? So that they will perhaps seek him and find him, even though he is not very far from any one of them. God is moving peoples across the earth. There are more people on the move in the multi-millions, hundreds of millions of people on the move today than ever before in that we know of in human history. Why? Because immigrants are open to the gospel. Everything changes in your life. I've had official residence in 3 countries, almost 4. And let me tell you, when you move country to country, anybody move country to country, you're like, yeah, everything changes, right? You got to figure out everything. Nothing is simple, okay? And in that breaking of all of our familiar routines, we begin to search. We become open. And God, that's why God wants you and me to say to the newcomer that we meet, welcome. Welcome to Canada. Now, I used to do a lot of hiring for, we worked for a nonprofit charity, as well as, you know, as a pastor and these sort of things. And one of the things you're looking for when anybody else do hiring here, you know, you've been hiring people in your business and that, and people put around references, right? How do you know if it's a good reference or not? Right? Oh, yeah, this is just their friend, and, you know, they're going to say whatever, you know, just to support their friend and all that. How do you determine, do they really know this person? Can they really speak to their character and all that? So a great question was always, have you had this person in your home? Ooh, that suddenly told the level of, you know, insight that this person was able to provide as a reference because they'd been in their home. The home. So what I'm moving toward here is God wants us to move back to the biblical practice of hospitality in our homes. Not Tim Hortons hospitality. You know, let's go beyond Tim Hortons or Starbucks or wherever your famous, you know, favorite one is, even McDonald's, okay? Okay? But in the home, because something happens in the home that doesn't happen anywhere else. Hearts soften. People open up. They begin to share. They begin to feel safe. They are welcomed. And that's because most of the rest of the world, the majority of the world, that's how they fellowship. And that is how disciples are made. So, don't be afraid. Rather, step out in faith and say, you know what? You've welcomed to Canada. I'm so glad you're here. You are lending something, providing something that's beautiful in this country, in our country together. Use this common embracing language, right? Would you like to come over and have a cup of coffee? Or a tea, whatever is your preference. I was walking with a friend in the mall in Brampton, where we used to live, and we stopped, and he's a white guy, okay, but he's called the White Indian, because he was raised in India, and so on the outside he's white, but on the inside he's Indian, okay, he's brown. He said, and when his parents were leaving, they were medical missionaries, and when they were leaving India, you know, he said, no, we're going home, they said. And he goes, no, you are going home. You're taking me from my home. He's such an Indian on the inside. And we stopped to talk to this Sikh gentleman, you know, and they're very recognizable. They have the turban, they have the beard, they have the cultural clothes on and all that. And he did. He stopped us after a few minutes, and he said, you are the first white people. I've been in Canada 7 years, and you're the first white people to stop and talk to me without trying to sell me something. Right? That's amazing. What a difference a simple greeting can make. But God wants to take it further than that. Have them in your home. Have them over. And then they're going to have you over as well. Is there one more slide? I don't know what I've got up there. Oh, this is my friend Muhammad. And then I'll wrap up with this, okay? Because Sue was saying, oh no, we have 2 speakers this morning. We're really going to go long. So this is my friend Muhammad, and much of my ministry has been focused on reaching Muslims with the truth and faith in Jesus Christ. And this is my closest friend, and he is still not a believer today. even though other Muslim friends have come into faith. But what I wanted to share with you is the things that begin to happen, okay, when you are getting into life and faith together. We've been in each other's homes lots. I just wasn't sitting around taking selfies in our houses, right? And that sort of thing. But you know, as you share with somebody, don't be afraid to witness, okay? Your Muslim friend, here's a truth you need to grab onto. You have nothing to fear from your Muslim neighbor. You want to repeat after me? You have nothing to fear from your Muslim neighbor. Now, Islam, the religion, is a different issue, okay? But your friend, nah, it's not an issue. In fact, you have what they want and need. That's the truth. You have in you, in Christ Jesus, in the truth, in the spirit, you have what they want and what they need. Oh, Muhammad began through the years we've known each other, began to open up to me and share. And he would even share deep things that he would never share with another Muslim, because he was actually violating the tenets of his religion and practice. And he knew that. And so you begin to challenge him and say, well, Muhammad, he began to share with me the story about he would have demonic dreams. And they would come about once a month. And when he was in university, he had a demonic visitation and all that. He has tried to resist it all through the years. And he's like, what do I do? Okay? It's so disturbing. And I said, well, what have you done? Oh, you know, he's like, he tried all these things. And when he was doing his master's degree in India, he said someone had given him one of those little red Gideon New Testaments, right? And so he said, I get my Quran and put it on one side, and I get my New Testament and I put it on my other side, put my hands on these, and I say, in the name of Allah, and in the name of Allah's holy books, you know. And I said, did it work? And he goes, no, it didn't work. Still happening. So I posed him a question. So Muhammad, you know who Jesus is, because we've had lots of conversations. What do you think would happen if you asked Jesus to help you? And he got this look on his face, and he's kind of like, I can realize, I know what I'm pushing him, you know, at his limits. He'd do this. And we left it at that. And I went on another one of my trips, and in another country, and then back, and we get back together, and we're sitting here in a restaurant. And so what happened with that? He goes, you would never believe it. It was the most amazing thing, okay? He said, he has a little two-room apartment near the university. And he said, in the other room, there's a bedroom, and there's the public room, which is kitchen and everything. And he said, bottles were rattling, plates, everything was rattling. He said, I knew it was coming, okay? And he said, yep, in the name of Allah, but it also in the name of Jesus. And he said, everything stopped. Nothing else happened. And he said, I went to bed, and while I was asleep, I had a dream. And I saw a man dressed as a shepherd walking by, and he was looking at me. And I said, Muhammad, who was that man? That's Jesus, he says. It's as simple as that. Pray with your friend, have tea with your friend, have lots of tea. You're going to drink way too much tea with your friend, right? And all of that. But don't be afraid. Share Jesus with your friends, because they're looking for the truth. 70% of all the mosques in Iran today are empty. Muslims are turning away from Islam because they see it, and because of the internet. They can now search and find the data. And when we continue to do archaeology, it continues to show Christianity, and it affirms the Bible over and over. Every challenge that comes, it's proved, documentary, archaeological, everything proves. and everything documentary and everything archaeological coming out about Islam, it shows that Islam is false. Okay? So this is why I say, you have nothing to fear, right? But rather, be full of the Spirit and love them. So I just want to leave with the information on the table. If you're a person of prayer, I want to encourage you to grab one of these Mission Canada prayer cards, prayer points that we are praying about. If you want to talk or connect, you can scan the QR code there on the screen. You could grab one of the big prayer cards. It's a QR code, my email address, if you want something little for your wallet there. And then this is about the five priorities there as well. And a lot of what I do is actually recruiting and onboarding new workers, because God is still calling people. Amen? And that's why I'm here on the island, or islands, really, because we're bringing up a new worker in Victoria who is our first Muslim background believer in Jesus. He's already led dozens of Muslims to faith. And so he'll be our first. And so praise God. God just continues to add to his number daily. And if God is calling you, then I want to talk to you too. Amen. So thank you, Pastor Ralph, and thank you for letting me come and share with you today.
Thank you, Charles. I am not going to be long at all. In fact, I just want to kind of wrap up what God has been saying to us this whole month. We've been hearing about what different missionaries have been doing. Last week, we heard from Stan Enenby what God is doing through Wycliffe around the world, how the Word of God is changing lives. And man, I couldn't think of a better way to conclude this Givetober, Charles. Thank you for coming. That was so awesome. I don't know if you're allowed to give the name of this individual that's coming, because we'd love to put him on our prayer list. I'd love to get in touch with him. But as we bring this month to a close, our theme has been sent. And our theme verse that we began this month with, I am concluding this month with, in John chapter 20. In verse 19, we read, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" As we leave this place to go to school, to go to our places of employment, to the people that we spend time with, whether in our condos, wherever it is we go, there is one thing that as a follower of a Jesus that we cannot avoid, and that is we are a sent people. I remember when I was 16 and a missionary came to my church, and he spoke a message that, to be quite honest, I don't remember at all. In fact, he was boring. That weekend, though, I was looking and waiting for God to speak to my heart, because I was at that age that many of our young people are, as God, what do you want me to do with my life? How am I going to serve you? Now, I won't go into all the details, but I knew that God was calling me to ministry, but I had no idea what that was. Besides, I wasn't a preacher's kid. I wasn't a deacon's kid. I was no one special. Why would God call me? And I remember that Sunday morning, and at the end of the service, our pastor, Pastor Mulligan, got up, and he was not prone to the prophetic, even though we had the prophetic displayed in our church, he himself was open but wasn't used. So when God spoke a prophetic word through him, we all kind of listened. And after the missionary sat down and Pastor Mulligan stood up to give the benediction and close the service, he said, there was silence. And he said, God has been speaking to me, and I feel that God is saying to a young person here, and he began to read my mail. Every question that I had been asking God that week, everything, objection that I had been saying to God about going into ministry, Pastor Mulligan, by means of the Spirit, spoke to every single one of my objections. And he said, I believe that God is saying to someone, yes, you are called. Will you answer that call? And I believe there are some people here today, and you're asking God, where do I go now? What do I do? Maybe you've got plans for university. I'm not telling you to cancel those plans. But he has more for you. Just like that song we sang at the beginning of the service, there is more that God has for you. No matter where you go, when you go to university, when if you've been through university and maybe you've retired and you're living that retired life, but deep down in your heart, there is something yearning for more. I've got good news for you. There is more. His call does not end at 65. And it doesn't just begin at 16. The moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you become aware that you are called and he has sent you. He has sent you to Parklands. He has sent you to that place of work. He has sent you. He is calling you to go. And as you go, he's calling you to go with three things. Number one, go with his peace. Go proclaiming the peace of God, that people can know peace with God and the peace of God. He's calling us to go in his pattern. I love that phrase. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You're not going alone. You're going with his authority in his name. With all of the resources of heaven at your disposal, he calls you to go. He called you to go, being sent with his power. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, we read, and Charles alluded to it this morning. Let me read it for you again. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water. By the way, we're going to plan to have another baptism before Christmas. You'll be hearing a little bit more about that. So if you've been looking for a time and a place to be baptized, keep your ears open. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You know what? That question is as contemporary today as it was when the disciples asked. They were waiting. Jesus, is your kingdom coming now? We're waiting, Jesus. We're ready, Jesus, for you to come to stamp out evil, to get rid of the Romans, and we're ready to be your assistants. Yes, Lord, when are you coming back again? It was supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah, but I understand the rapture has been moved up to November sometime now. Please, if you hear that on the internet, scroll right on by. Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go." Yes, Jesus is coming again. And the message is, until that day, until we hear the trumpet sound and we are translated to glory, my friend, until that day comes, no, God has a call, God has a mission, and he has sent you. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back. Right now I'm praying, God, this is not how I planned for this service to end today. Right now, I'm going to do something I don't always do, but I want to give opportunity. Just before we sing a last song or two in worship, I'd like us to be quiet before the Lord. And if there is someone and you feel that the Lord may be giving you a prophetic word to encourage the church today, I'm just going to invite you to come forward and to speak it. Not to be long, I will hold the mic. But if God has given someone a word this morning, I want to give opportunity in this time to allow Holy Spirit to speak to us today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant that you've brought here today, and the challenge, God, that we have been given. And now, Lord, in this moment, would you speak to us? Our hearts are ready to hear. In Jesus' name.
The Lord shall fill all the earth. The glory of the Lord shall fall. It's his glory falling. It's like a blanket. It's falling over youth. It's falling over thousands. I can see it. And not only here in Canada, but it's a cloud that's falling over the whole earth. And the Lord says, I am in it. And I'm doing my work. I'm doing what I do best. I'm bringing my people even to myself, and they shall receive their salvation.
Amen. Amen. You, Lord.